Alright, so we're continuing chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
What page are I on?
We're on page 258.
How many pages are
there? There are 734 pages. As the next day was Saturday, most students would normally have breakfasted late. Harry, Ron, and Hermione, however, were not alone in rising much earlier than they usually did on weekends. When they went down into the entrance hall, they saw about 20 people milling around it, some of them eating toast, all examining the Goblet of Fire. It had been placed in the center of the hall on a stool that normally bore the sorting hat. A thin golden line had been traced around it, forming a circle 10 feet in every direction. "Anyone put their name in yet?" Ron asked a third-year girl. "All the Durmstrang lot," she replied, "but I haven't seen anyone from Hogwarts yet." "Bet some of them put it in last night if we'd gone to bed," said Harry. "I would if it had been me. Wouldn't have wanted everyone watching. What if the goblet just gobbled you right back?" Someone laughed behind Harry. Turning, he saw Fred George and Lee Jordan hurrying down the staircase, all three of them looking extremely excited. "Done it," said Fred in a triumphant whisper to Harry, Ron, and Hermione. "Just taking it." "What?" said Ron. "The aging potion, dung beans," said Fred. "One drop each," said George, rubbing his hands together with glee. "We only need to be a few months older." "We're going to split the 1,000-galleon prize between the three of us if one of them wins," said Lee, grinning broadly. "I'm not sure this is going to work, you know," said Hermione warningly. "I'm sure Dumbledore will have thought of this." Fred, George, and Lee ignored her. "Ready?" said Fred to the other two, quivering with excitement. "Come on, then, I'll go first." Harry watched, fascinated, as Fred pulled a slip of parchment out of his pocket bearing the words, "Fred Weasley, Hogwarts." He walked right up to the edge of the line and stood there, rocking on his toes like a diver preparing for a 50-foot drop. Then, with the eyes of every person in the entrance hall upon him, he took a great breath and stepped over the line. For a split second, Harry thought it had worked. George certainly thought so, for he let out a yell of triumph and leapt after Fred. But the next moment, there was a loud sizzling sound, and both twins were hurled out of the golden center, as though they had been thrown out by an invisible shot putter. They landed painfully, 10 feet away from the cold stone floor, and to add insult to injury, there was a loud popping noise, and both of them sprouted identical long white beards. The entrance hall rang with laughter. Even Fred and George joined in once they'd gotten to their feet and taken a good long look at each other's beards. "I did warn you," said a deep, amused voice, and everyone turned to see Professor Dumbledore coming out of the Great Hall. He surveyed Fred and George, his eyes twinkling. "I suggest you both go up to Madame Pomfrey. She's already tending to Miss Fawcett of Ravenclaw and Mr. Summers of Hufflepuff, both of whom decided to age themselves up a little too. Though I must say, neither of their beards is anything as fine as yours." Fred and George set off for the hospital wing.
I think they would have kept it.
They should have.
Yeah, I bet they...
Accompanied by Lee, who was howling with laughter, and Harry, Ron, and Hermione, also chortling, went in to breakfast. The decorations in the Great Hall had changed this morning.
That one.
Says this morning. Yeah. As it was Halloween, a cloud of live bats was fluttering around the enchanted ceiling, while hundreds of carved pumpkins leered from every corner.
I love it.
Harry led the way over to Dean and Seamus, who were discussing these Hogwarts students of 17 or over who might be entering. "There's a rumor going around that Warrington got up early and put his name in," Dean told Harry. "That big bulk from Slytherin who looks like a sloth." Harry, who played Quidditch against Warrington, shook his head in disgust. "We can't have a Slytherin champion." "And all the Hufflepuffs
are very close."
"Yeah. And all the Hufflepuffs are talking about Diggory," said Seamus contemptuously. "But I wouldn't have thought he'd have wanted to risk his good looks." "Listen," said Hermione suddenly. People were cheering out in the entrance hall. They all swiveled around their seats and saw Angelina Johnson coming back into the hall, grinning in an embarrassed sort of way. a tall black girl who played chaser on the Gryffindor Quidditch team. Angelina came over to them, sat down, and said, "Well, I've done it. Just put my name in." "You're kidding," said Ron, looking impressed. "Are you 17, then?" asked Harry. "Of course she is. Can't see a beard, can you?" said Ron. "I had my birthday last week," said Angelina. "Well, I'm glad someone's from Gryffindor is entering," said Hermione. "I really hope you get it, Angelina." "Thanks, Hermione," said Angelina, smiling at her. "Yeah, better you than Pretty Boy Diggory," said Seamus, causing several Hufflepuffs passing their table to scowl heavily at him. "What are we going to do today, then?" Ron asked Harry and Hermione when they had finished breakfast and were leaving the Great Hall. "We haven't been down to visit Hagrid yet," said Harry. "Okay," said Ron, "just as long as he doesn't ask us to donate a few fingers to the Scroots." A look of great excitement suddenly dawned on Hermione's face. "I just realized I haven't asked Hagrid to join SPEW yet," she said brightly. "Wait for me, will you, while I nip upstairs to get the badges." "What is it with her?" said Ron, exasperated, as Hermione ran away up the marble staircase. "Hey, Ron," said Harry suddenly, "it's your friend." The students from Beauxbatons were coming through the front doors of the grounds, among them the Vila girl. Those gathered around the Goblet of Fire stood back to let them pass, watching eagerly. Madame Maxine entered the hall behind one of her students and organized them into a line. One by one, the Beauxbatons students stepped across the age line and dropped their slips of parchment into the blue-white flames. As each name entered the fire, it turned briefly red and emitted sparks. "What do you reckon to happen to the ones who aren't chosen?" Ron muttered to Harry as the Vila girl dropped her parchment to the Goblet of Fire. "Reckon they'll go back to school or hang around to watch the tournament?" "Dunno," said Harry. "Hang around, suppose. Madame Maxine's staying to judge, isn't she?" When all the Beauxbatons students had submitted their names, Madame Maxine led them back out of the hall and out onto the grounds again. "Where are they sleeping, then?" said Ron, moving the front doors and staring after them. A loud rattling noise behind them announced Hermione's reappearance with the box of SPEW badges. "No good, hurry up," said Ron, as he jumped down the stone steps, keeping his eyes on the back of the Vila girl, who was now halfway across the lawn with Madame Maxine. "Was he looking at her back, really?" As they neared Hagrid's cabin on the edge of the Forbidden Forest, the mystery of the Beauxbatons' sleeping quarters was solved. The gigantic powder-blue carriage in which they had arrived had been parked 200 yards from Hagrid's front door, and the students were climbing back inside it. The elephantine flying horses that had pulled the carriage were now grazing in a makeshift paddock alongside it. Harry knocked on Hagrid's door, and Fang's booming barks answered instantly. "About time," said Hagrid, when he'd flung open the door. "Thought you'd lot forgotten where I live." "We've been really busy, Hagrid," Hermione started to say, but then she stopped dead, looking up at Hagrid, apparently lost for words. Hagrid was wearing his best in a very horrible hairy brown suit, plus a checked yellow and orange tie. This wasn't the worst of it, though. He had evidently tried to tame his hair, using large quantities of what appeared to be axle grease. It was now slicked back into two bunches. Perhaps he'd tried a ponytail like Bill, but found he had too much hair. The look didn't really suit Hagrid at all. For a moment, Hermione goggled at him, then obviously decided not to comment, and said, "Where are the Scroots?" "Out by the pumpkin patch," said Hagrid happily. "They're getting massive. Must be near 3 feet long by now. Only trouble is, they've started killing each other." "Oh no, really?" said Hermione, shooting a repressive look at Ron, who, staring at Hagrid's odd hairstyle, had just opened his mouth to say something about it. "Yeah," said Hagrid sadly. "It's okay, though. I've got them in separate boxes now. Still got about 20. "Well, that's lucky," said Ron. Hagrid missed the sarcasm. Hagrid's cabin comprised a single room, in one corner of which was a gigantic bed covered in a patchwork quilt. A similarly enormous wooden table and chairs stood in front of the fire, beneath the quantity of cured hams and dead birds hanging from the ceiling. They sat down at the table, while Hagrid started to make tea, and were soon immersed in yet more discussion of the Triwizard Tournament. Hagrid seemed quite as excited as they were. "You wait," he said, grinning. "You just wait. You're going to see some stuff you never seen before. First task, I'm not supposed to say." "Go on, Hagrid," Harry, Ron, and Hermione urged him, but he shook his head, grinning. "I don't want to spoil it for you," said Hagrid, "but it's going to be spectacular, I tell you that. Them champions are going to have their work cut out. Never thought I'd live to see the Triwizard Tournament played again." They ended up having lunch with Hagrid, though they didn't eat much. Hagrid made what he said was a beef casserole, but after Hermione unearthed a large talon in hers, she, Harry, and Ron rather lost their appetites. However, they enjoyed themselves, trying to make Hagrid tell them what the tasks in the tournament were going to be, speculating which of the entrants were likely to be selected as champions, and wondering whether Fred and George were beardless yet. A light rain started to fall by mid-afternoon. It was very cozy sitting by the fire, listening to the gentle patter of the drops on the window, watching Hagrid darning his socks, and arguing with Hermione about house elves. For he flatly refused to join SPEW when she showed him her badges. "You'd be doing them an unkindness, Hermione," he said gravely, threading a massive bone needle with a thick yellow yarn. "It's in their nature to look after humans. That's what they like, see? You'd be making them unhappy to take away their work, and insulting them if you tried to pay them." "But Harry set Dobby free, and he was over the moon about it," said Hermione. "And we heard he's asking for wages now." "Yeah, well, you get weirdos in every breed. I'm not saying there isn't the odd elf who'd take freedom, but you never persuade me, most of them, to do it. No, nothing doing, Hermione." Hermione looked very cross indeed and stuffed her box of badges into her cloak pocket. By 5:30, it was growing dark. And Ron, Harry, and Hermione decided it was time to get back to the castle for the Halloween feast, and, more importantly, the announcement of school champions. "I'll come with you," said Hagrid, putting away his darning. "Just give us a sec." Hagrid got up, went across to his chest of drawers behind his bed, and began searching for something inside it. They didn't pay too much attention until a truly horrible smell reached their nostrils. "Coughing," Ron said. "Hagrid, what's that?" Said Hagrid, turning around with a large bottle in his hand. "Don't you like it?" "Is that aftershave?" said Hermione in a slightly choked voice. Eau de cologne," Hagrid muttered. He was blushing. "Maybe it's a bit much," he said gruffly. "I'll go take it off. Hang on." He stumped out of the cabin, and they saw him washing himself vigorously in the water barrel outside the window. "Eau de cologne," said Hermione in amazement. "Hagrid? And what's with the hair in the suit?" said Harry in an undertone. "Look," said Ron suddenly, pointing out the window. Hagrid had just straightened up and turned round. He'd been blushing before. It was nothing to what he was doing now. Getting to their feet very cautiously so that Hagrid wouldn't spot them, Harry, Ron, and Hermione peered through the window and saw Madame Maxime and the Beauxbatons students had just emerged from their carriage, clearly about to set off for the feast, too. They couldn't hear what Hagrid was saying, but he was talking to Madame Maxime with a rapt, misty-eyed expression Harry had only ever seen him wear once before, when he'd been looking at the baby dragon, Norbert. "He's going up to the castle with her," said Hermione indignantly. "I thought he was waiting for us." Without so much as a backward glance at his cabin, Hagrid was trudging off up the grounds with Madame Maxime, the Beauxbaton students following in their wake, jogging to keep up with their enormous strides. "He fancies her," said Ron incredulously. "Well, if they end up having children, they'll be setting a world record, but any baby of theirs would weigh a ton." They let themselves out of the cabin and shut the door behind them. It was surprisingly dark outside. Drawing their cloaks more closely around them, they set off up the sloping lawns. "Ooh, it's them, all right," Hermione whispered. The Germstrong party was walking up toward the castle from the lake. Victor Krum was walking side by side with Karkaroff, and the other Germstrong students were straggling along behind them. Ron watched Crumb excitedly, but Crumb did not look around as he reached the front doors a little ahead of Hermione, Ron, and Harry, and proceeded through them. When they entered the candlelit great hall, it was almost full. The Goblet of Fire had been moved, and it was now standing in front of Dumbledore's empty chair at the teacher's table. Fred and George, clean-shaven again, seemed to have taken their disappointment fairly well. "Hope it's Angelina," said Fred, as Harry, Ron, and Hermione sat down. "So do I," said Hermione breathlessly. "Well, we'll know soon." The Halloween feast seemed to take much longer than usual. Perhaps it was because it was their second feast in 2 days. Harry didn't seem to fancy the extravagantly prepared food as much as he normally would have. Like everyone else in the hall, judging by the constantly craning necks, the impatient expressions on every face, the fidgeting and the standing up to see whether Dumbledore had finished eating.
Don't put that in my face.
Okay. Harry simply wanted the plates to clear and to hear who had been selected champions. At long last, the golden plates returned to their original spotless state. There was a sharp upswing in the level of noise within the hall, which died away almost immediately as Dumbledore got to his feet. On either side of him, Professor Karkaroff and Madame Maxime looked as tense and expectant as anyone. Ludo Bagman was beaming and winking at various students. Mr. Crouch, however, looked quite uninterested, almost bored. "Well, the Goblet is almost ready to make its decision," said Dumbledore. "I estimate that it requires one more minute. Now, when the champions' names are called, I would ask them to please come up to the top of the hall, walk along the staff table, and go through into the next chamber." He indicated the door behind the staff table, where they will be receiving their first instructions. He took out his wand and gave a great sweeping wave with it at once. All the candles except those inside the carved pumpkins were extinguished, plunging them into a state of semi-darkness. The Goblet of Fire now shone more brightly than anything in the whole hall, the sparkling bright bluey whiteness of the flames almost painful on their eyes. Everyone watched, waiting. Few people kept checking their watches. "Any second," Lee Jordan whispered, 2 seats away from Harry. The flames inside the goblet turned suddenly red again. Sparks began to fly from it. The next moment, a tongue of flames shot into the air. A charred piece of parchment fluttered out of it. The whole room gasped. Dumbledore caught the piece of parchment and held it at arm's length, so that he could read it by the light of the flames, which had turned back to blue-white. "The champion for Durmstrang," he read in a strong, clear voice, "will be Victor Crumb." "No surprises there," yelled Ron, as a storm of applause and cheering swept the hall. Harry saw Victor Crumb rise from the Slytherin table and slouch up toward Dumbledore. He turned right, walked along the staff table, and disappeared through the door into the next chamber. "Bravo, Victor," boomed Karkaroff so loudly that everyone could hear him even over the applause. "Knew you had it in you." The clapping and chatting died down. Now everyone's attention was focused again on the goblet, which seconds later turned red once more. A second piece of parchment shot out of it, propelled by the flames. "The champion for Beauxbatons," said Dumbledore, "is Fleur Delacour." "It's her, Ron," Harry shouted as the girl, who so resembled Avila, got gracefully to her feet, shook back her sheet of silvery blonde hair, and swept up between the Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff tables. "Oh, look, they're all disappointed," Hermione said over the noise, nodding toward the remainder of the Beauxbatons party. Disappointed was a bit of an understatement, Harry thought. Two of the girls who had not been selected had dissolved into tears and were sobbing with their heads in their arms. When Fleur Delacour, too, had vanished into the side chamber, silence fell again, but this time it was silence so stiff with excitement you could almost taste it. Hogwarts champion was next. The Goblet of Fire turned red once more. Sparks showered out of it. The tongue of flame shot high into the air, and from its tip, Dumbledore pulled the third piece of parchment. "The Hogwarts champion," he called, "is Cedric Diggory." "No," said Ron loudly, but nobody could hear him except Harry. The uproar from the next table was too great. Every single Hufflepuff had jumped to his or her feet, screaming and clapping as Cedric made his way past them, grinning broadly, and headed off toward the chamber behind the teacher's table. Indeed, the applause for Cedric went on so long that it was some time before Dumbledore could make himself heard again. "Excellent," Dumbledore called happily, as at last the tumult died down. "Well, we now have our three champions. I am sure we can count on all of you, including the remaining students from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang, to give your champions every ounce of support you can muster. By cheering your champion on, you will contribute in a very real..." But Dumbledore suddenly stopped speaking, and it was apparent to everybody what had distracted him. The fire in the goblet had just turned red again. Sparks were flying out of it. A long flame shot suddenly into the air and bore upon it another piece of parchment. Automatically, it seemed, Dumbledore reached out and seized the parchment. He held it out and stared at the name written upon it. There was a long pause, during which Dumbledore stared at the slip in his hands, and everyone in the room stared at Dumbledore. And then Dumbledore cleared his throat and read out, "Harry Potter." And that's the end of chapter 16. And next we'll read chapter 17 called The Four Champions. I hope you like that, my kitty. You're a very cute girl. I love you very much. Sleep well, kitten.